You are listening to Fallen Woman on Radio Free Brooklyn. I am here with a beautiful specimen of sorts, a combination of varieties, a decadent and nihilistic, as well as oddly angelic. I am here with Severely Mame.
Thank you for having me back.
Stoked.
I enjoyed last time so much.
You're like funner than a bag of dicks.
I will hope. I hope that will be on my grave or something, something in that realm, or like maybe that'll just be my new tagline. For a minute, it changed over to from New York City's favorite dead girl to legitimately the plus size Violet Tchotchke, because I got called. I was in Sharon Needle's most recent video.
I wouldn't qualify you as plus size.
Well, anything compared to Violet is plus size.
Right. Right.
But I was exactly. in Sharon Needle's most recent music video, and I was cast as a 1940s reporter. And she posted the video, and in the comments, one of my friends sent me, he's like, you have to look at the comments. I know they say never to look at the comments, but you have to look at the comments. And of course, the one he was talking about was where a, like, 13-year-old called me legitimately the plus-size Violet Tchotchke, which I was like, oh, yeah, that has to be how I have to be introed at some show that way. Because Violet and I are friendly, and we talk about, like, the constant comparison and always laugh about it, because we know we do very different things, but, you know, to the Drag Race audience...
But plus-size, really? Really?
It's so funny. Well, because the entire statement is just... so ridiculous in general. It's just like, oh, God. But yeah, so the plus-size Violet Tchotchke became my tagline, but maybe funner than a bag of dicks might just take over from that
right?
one. It's severely maimed. Maybe that'll just be, like, my autobiography or my Lifetime movie after mm-hmm. I die. Something
right.
like that. It'll be my Mommy Dearest. It will be funner than a bag of dicks. Eric Schmallenberger will still be alive somehow, and he'll be in it.
See, I get... Look. I totally know your aesthetic well over the last few years, and I get the Violet Tchotchke comparison, but I also get the Joey Arias comparison when you honor Joey Arias at Badass Does Drag, that show. To me... when I think of Violet Tchotchke, I don't think morbid. I don't think murder.
Yeah.
I don't think suicide. I don't think dead people or zombies or vampires or Halloween.
Yes.
When I think Severely Mame, especially the name, Mame, let's maim this person, Severely Mame, to me... and knowing you as a performer, I would consider you not the plus-size Violet Tchotchke, but the morbid Violet Tchotchke.
Exactly. We have
like,
very
if you
different.
Took Violet Tchotchke and Morticia Adams and put them in a blender
exactly.
with a little Tor Satana, you'd get Severely Mame.
And that's probably the best compliment I can get because
I think it's the best analogy I can
yeah.
I have
and it's
knowing you
three women that I love in this world so it's as inspiration they are all like we were talking about inspiration earlier they're all on that list. Violet is younger than me and has done so well for herself mm-hmm. and just is so beautiful and has like every day perfecting her craft even more and
yes.
getting to watch it from even pre-Drag Race just through Instagram to where she is now is so insane because I was obsessed with how she looked then.
All right, let's talk about the difference between Dita Von Teese and Tora Santana.
Well, it's on, like, first
hot
off,
brunettes.
Well, yeah, like
burlesque community.
Yes.
They have their parallels. I get it.
Oh, for sure.
But the differences between the two, to me, are like between you and Violet.
Yeah, I can, exactly. It's yeah. two different flavors of the same, like...
meat.
Two different flavors of the same meat.
Yeah.
Who knows, maybe her and I will do a sister act where that's how we get introduced.
Right?
Two different flavors of the same meat, violet tchotchke and cinnamon. I would be the, like, bitter one that poor people buy. And she would be...
You would be the Mamie Van Doren. She'd be the... Monroe.
Yeah, no.
In that sense, because they often call Mamie Van Doren, you know, the poor man's Monroe. Yeah.
And Jane Mansfield got, like, similar...
Right.
Not and accolades,
both,
but...
And, well, both Mamie and Jane did edgier films, too.
Yeah. They were very much hardcore, like,
these sex... You know sex me, I'm all Monroe, but...
Yeah. But yes, Mamie is shit. Above your bed.
Yeah, she is.
Which I love that
and
portrait.
And she is on my right
Oh,
shin.
I've never noticed that.
That is my Mamie tattoo.
And she's still with us, right?
That is why she's on my body. That is why she's above my bed. Of the three M's, of the Monroe, Mansfield, and Mamie, she is the survivor. She's the one that, even in her older age, went on her website totally nude with big ol' implanty boobies.
Oh, I love it.
And didn't give a shit and said, "This is me now. How about that?" And then wrote a tell-all book about all the men she fucked. And then just said, "I just decided to have a really fun, crazy life and enjoy myself. I didn't need to go down that other path," and she has referred to, like, I could have done that.
Yeah,
but
she could have been dead before 30. Like,
and that's why
the other
she's
two.
Above my
yeah.
bed.
She's yeah,
that's
she's,
why she's on my right shin.
She is a fantastic one.
I like that she's probably going to be a Centaurian. That's the massage chair that Eric Schmallenberger.
I was like, what is that?
Is sitting in. It does make that sound. Hello, Eric Schmallenberger. Say hi for everybody.
Hi.
Oh, yeah. He's getting massaged in the chair. He can't help it. Anyway, we digress.
We move on. And I've dressed... I personally have always loved the blondes. But brunettes steal my heart. Being a dyed
brunette.
Brunette.
I know,
like,
you're a brunette.
I'm tried and true brunette. I'm Tora Jane Man or Jane Russell. Like, those are
Who's
my
the
girls.
Brunette in the Powerpuff Girls? Wasn't Buttercup?
She did have the bob too.
She
like
had
I
the
just
ballsy.
Got.
She had the ballsy tude.
Yeah, she had an and attitude the, and a bob.
And the three fairies. Flora, Fauna, and Meriwether with Maleficent and Sleeping Beauty Disney. It was the brunette one in blue that had the toad.
I love it. I love it.
Kept wanting to come after everybody with her wand all pissed off.
I feel like, yeah. Brunette's got the...
Feisty.
We get to be feisty characters. We don't have to be a sex kitten.
No, you... But...
But you all... It's
you
like underlying.
Sex, yes.
It's like...
It's deadly.
Yeah, exactly.
Deadly.
You can
Betty Page.
Maim
deadly. Maim them.
Just maim them.
Speaking of maim them, how are you gonna maim them this fall with your fashion?
Well, fall is the only time of year that I really feel like I can thrive when it comes to dressing because I primarily wear only vintage clothing at this point, and it's some days it's menswear, some days it's women's.
And you're thorough.
Whatever.
Like, you're a purist. I've never seen you not. In some wild vintage attire.
Well, I think that's like half the fun of dressing, which there's crazy things out there to wear. And even that's like, I can wear like a 50s men's suit kind of as Dietrich did in this more feminine way, and it looks kind of more exciting than just a men's suit. Like, it's...
Right.
It's, vintage clothing is common these days, but not everyone's wearing it, so it's still more of a statement, excitement piece. But when it comes to fall, I'm...
And I don't see you wearing replicas. I see you wearing the actual...
I have a few reproduction pieces, and I've made a lot of pieces from vintage patterns, but I wear a lot of true vintage pieces because I am lucky and have a lot of friends that deal in the vintage world and will find me pieces because I'm a bigger bust, which you understand.
Hi, girl.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. Like, for vintage clothing...
Double D. Yes, I do.
I have to, like... In vintage dresses, I need a 42-inch bust, which is really hard to find.
Yeah.
And I have friends that then
especially
keep
vintage,
an eye out
because they
it.
Were smaller.
They were
then.
Much smaller, and I think what's on my side which has become a problem lately, is that bullet bras did account for a little more room.
Uh-huh.
So a 40-inch bust, when I was a 40, was easier to find, but now I'm a little bit bigger, and a 42 I have to get, because I can still fit a 40-inch bust, but my waist has gotten a little bit bigger, and that 40-inch bust waist that is paired with it doesn't fit me anymore. So I've got a size down to fit into a bunch of my closet, but, you know.
Have you considered maybe mutating them or altering them to...
My plan is to just finally become active, which is another part of my excitement that fall and is here, because summer, it was, I started running and I was just like, oh God, it's too fucking hot, and I gave up.
You want to die.
And now I'm like, oh, it's like 75 degrees. I'm like, I can go running. I can go run a couple miles in that. So then I'll be able to size down into a bunch of my vintage probably by in the next like few months.
You know, you're right. Fall and spring are the best times to exercise.
Yeah, if it's going to be outdoors, which I like, I don't have a gym membership because I'm not committed to it, but I'm like, oh, by the time winter comes, if I'm really into running, I can just get a gym membership and it'll be worth it because I won't be...
Do you like swimming ever?
I am not a strong swimmer. Mm-hmm. I think it's something I should invest more in the future. One of my friends, actually recently, he works at as like a lifeguard and swimming instructor. He was like, do you want me to teach you how to swim, like, actually?
And I
was like...
Because that's my fave form of exercise, and I do have a gym membership at the Manhattan Plaza Health Club.
Oh.
And I've got this ridiculous swimming pool with an atrium rooftop year-round.
Wow.
And, doesn't take much off my nose to bring a guest. I'd love to swim with you one day.
Go swimming.
They have jacuzzi and sauna there. They serve cocktails. It's fun.
Wow, that sounds like a nice little fancy time.
Yeah, it's actually a very lo-fi gym, but it's very unpretentious. That's why I like it. But, it's like a little secret in Hell's Kitchen.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I've really got to size down to fit into some stuff.
Oh.
Which I'm fine with, because it's like...
That just means you're doing better.
I'm comfortable. I can afford to eat now.
Yes.
As almost living... Like, I'm not completely living exclusively off of being a performer and a drag queen, but I'm very close.
Close.
So it's... I went through that juggling a real job and performing, but still being broke, and now I'm not. And I'm like, oh, I can actually eat like a normal human.
Right.
So,
and so your body's adjusting to that.
Exactly. And I've now...
It'll
even out. Exactly.
You know, well, girl.
It's just a time thing and an active thing. Because also, I know that once you hit 30, it's harder to like lose weight as it is in your 20s. So I'm like, well, now's the time. I get it off. I'll get it all off now. Get my waist back to where it was, where I could continue to corset down and not have to.
Do you like corset training?
I used to when I was skinnier. I had my waist. Not, it was like for a show.
Like
I had it down to 22.
Does that mean like you sleep in a corset?
I was doing like an active 5 days a week, probably like 8+ hours a day, living my life in it. And then I'd give myself a couple breaks, and I wouldn't sleep in it, because that's one thing I've tried and tried and tried. And I'm such a light sleeper in general, it's hard for me to fall asleep.
Yeah.
So that, I think, is also going to be making the adjustment of, like, sizing down to where my beautiful corset that I had made by House of Candy out of Atlanta, who makes all of Violet's costumes.
Yeah.
I had one made by him, so I have to size back down to that one, and then I can have smaller ones made as it goes, because I'm like, oh, I got bigger now. I don't want to buy a new one. I want to just get active and fitter.
But
to where I fit back into.
But you're rocking so much gorgeous Louise Brooks-ness tonight.
I know. I'm like, oh, all my 50s stuff. Now
look,
I need
amazing.
All 20s stuff.
So this whole bigger thing is barely, I can't even see it. But I believe you.
It was like that. Like, I didn't really notice it.
I feel like I'm talking to a teenage girl about her fretting over a waistline.
Oh,
like,
no, completely.
You're kidding me.
And it was only today
you're
because
stunning.
It being Di Devontae's birthday, I posted 2 photos of me and her when we met on Instagram today. And the first one, when we met, which was probably 2 years ago, I looked at it and I was like, oh my God. I was like, I see it in my face now, mm-hmm. where I put on the weight, which I don't mind because for drag it gives me a more feminine face to like cut into and make.
You feel like you have more to work with?
Yeah, I have more to work with. It's more feminine looking. I can really
You don't have to fight so hard to keep it soft.
Exactly. It doesn't get too harsh. So that's been fine. And then as I get active and just healthier, my face will slowly slim, and I'll be doing my makeup the entire time during the process, and my makeup will then catch up and continue to be better than it was then. Because my makeup is also not very good in that first photo of me and Dita.
It's part of the artistic evolution.
Exactly. Slowly work.
Yeah, evolving, transforming, mutating.
Constantly.
Reinventing.
Much like the seasons.
Moving on. Yes. Wanderlust. You have it.
I do lately. I grew up in Western Massachusetts. Uh-huh. I moved to New York City after living in Salem, Massachusetts, and kind of all over.
You lived in Salem?
I did. Well, I actually lived in Beverly.
How appropriate.
I know. It was a town away. Beverly used to be part of Salem in, like, witch trial days, so I was pretty much living there. And I spent every day pretty much in Salem doing
Salem things.
Salem things. It was a really beautiful town. I love historic buildings and things like that.
I've noticed a lot of people from Salem are quite proud.
Yeah, no, Salem is really beautiful.
I've never been, but it sounds like there's a lot to enjoy there.
There is. Yeah. It's the tourist area is nice, but really, it extends beyond that. People have spent so much time, energy, and money restoring so many houses there. Because there's very much a divide in Salem.
Historical.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Like, it's a historic town in general.
The way New Orleans can be.
Yeah. And people want to preserve that as much as possible. So they've done, a lot of people have, like, restored their homes to where, like, to be as close to original as they can. So there's really beautiful things all over on top of how enriched in history and death that it is.
Spoken like severely.
Exactly.
<mean.
laughs> it's a beautiful, beautiful town. I loved living there. And doing, the only thing is everyone asks, like, oh, what's Halloween like? I'm like, don't go.
Oh, let's talk about your love-hate relationship with Halloween now. You had mentioned this.
I've always been, like, the biggest Halloween fan. My mother somehow picked up on it as a kid and raised me on, like, the Munsters, Addams Family.
Halloween.
Exactly.
Yes.
So it was very much, I was always very Halloween-centric. And then 4 years ago, I became a active performer in New York City, and Halloween kind of gets a little ruined here because, especially as a working performer, there's so much going on and you just get booked, especially someone like me who you're saying is morbid and spooky. I get booked throughout the month pretty heavily, so I don't get to enjoy Halloween season as much. Like, I don't get to just, like, dress up for Halloween and go to a friend's house and, or, like, party hop. I have to go to the jobs that I'm hired for
because it's work.
Which, I love doing that work.
Because you're Spooky Spice.
Exactly. Yeah. So it gets ruined over time. And this year I was just like, I'm very excited for my party. This is my second year throwing the Halloween party at Eastern Block on 6 and A. And it'll be on Halloween proper, just like last year. This time I'm changing things up a little and making it a little more me and a little less crazy planning. So I'm bringing it down to where it's just more fun. But it's being a performer and loving Halloween in New York City, it gets really hard to continue to love both at the same time because you just get completely stolen from the season. Like, I would always love to go, like, apple picking and picking.
It's like if you really love sex so much and then you become a prostitute and then suddenly it's not fun anymore.
It's work. Exactly. Yes. It's,
and the thing that brought you so much joy before that you're so good at, which is why you wanted to make it a profession, now becomes obligation.
Exactly. An obligation doesn't make it a bad thing.
No.
It just is something you have to do.
But it can twist the desire, you know, and that, hence the love-hate I see
exactly
that you're saying with Halloween.
Which I will always still love it, and being, tried and true witch. Like, Halloween will always be a beautiful time. And, you know, it's the witch's new year, so it's the projection for how you spend the rest of your year. So I do now always want to be performing and working on Halloween, because that is how I want to project my next year.
I've always loved Halloween. My birthday's Day of the Dead, the day after November 1st. So naturally, Halloween at the stroke of midnight, it's my birthday and it becomes a thing. So it's always been attached to that, but I'm known for knifing acts and things.
Yeah, like
as a darker performance. Child, yeah. I get booked. I've been through the whole thing you're describing, you know, about as a performer, a morbid performer specifically, morbid, niche performer. Yeah. You get pigeonholed in that thing, and it does feel like work. My birthday, however, has managed to soften the vibe for me over the years. But I have to say, as a result, Halloween lost its romantic religious allure for me long ago. Now my favorite religious holiday is December 21st, winter solstice. Because I hate Christmas.
I would say, and like,
I don't even have a love hate. I just hate Christmas.
And because of
my love New Year's Eve, I hate Christmas. And so for me, my new witch's holiday became December 21st.
My love hate with Halloween has made Christmas become my like new favorite time of the year.
Yes,
because also, you know, just being so invested in my like 1950s lifestyle.
Oh, you're
I have
so,
like
you're
I
so
have
bad.
An aluminum
you're
tree,
like, you're
and
like
I have
Endora from Bewitched. That way.
When I do naturally
like
have red hair.
When you grow old, which I look forward because I think it's going to be fabulous.
Oh, yeah.
Be like a diva. When you grow old, I see it going in the Endora direction.
Mm. Oh, for sure. I always call my friend and one of my favorite performers in New York, Angela DiCarlo. I always just tell her that she's my Andorra. She's this like fiery redhead who I can all like am always so happy to be around because she is my Andorra. She's just a spitfire redhead that wears too much makeup, and I'm like, that's the kind of people I want in my life.
She's a wild ginger.
She is, and I love it. So it's but like because of my weird 50s lifestyle, I actually do enjoy Christmas because I have the aluminum tree and all of those, like,
is it silver or
yeah
pink?
It's the silver like 6 foot tall aluminum tree, and I set it up
things?
What I used to do was it would get set up it would get set up in October, and we'd put all the Halloween decorations on it.
Oh.
And then we'd swap out the Halloween decorations. Mm-hmm. After like mid-November, and we put the Christmas ones on. So for Christmas, I do I think I did all green last year, which now my kitchen is pink. So I might switch it all
so
over to
pink, that's
yeah.
So sexy.
I think I'll switch it all over. I feel like it's very Jane Mansfield to have
some
my silver tree
maybe?
And
yeah,
something like just very cute and kitschy and fun. And so I look forward to being able to set that up again this year.
I look forward to seeing
it'll be fun. Yeah, and I have like a
now that Eric Schmallenberger's your
now
new
now that he
roommate,
lives with me, people will be over and enjoying the house.
The pink silver,
it'll be his first pink Christmas.
Tinsel tree will be in full effect.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
It's gonna be a good one. But I'm excited for Halloween this year. That's like as it gets closer and the weather is getting like crisper, and I can wear all my furs because that's one of my favorite things.
Yes.
I'm excited for Halloween. I know it's going to be a good one, but I feel like when I'm in the middle of October, I'll be like, oh my God, just make it December now.
Oh, I don't want the chill.
Then November will come and I'll be, or November 1st will come and Halloween will be over. And I was like, well, I just kind of missed my favorite holiday. But, you know, Christmas is coming and I'll have that to look forward to. That's, I guess, what the mentality happens every year.
Oh, yes.
But, yeah, it's...
And how do you feel about New Year's Eve?
I like New Year's, but I always... every year I've said I'm not gonna book New Year's so I can just like kind of do something at home and not leave my neighborhood and not have to be into the craziness of amateur hour.
I'm doing that every year. I don't. I almost always refuse to do New Year's Eve performance.
Every year I've gotten offered gigs that were like too good to say no to, and then I'm like, God damn it, I have to go make money instead of stay home. So,
well, you know, yeah, you get a nice offer, you can't turn
exactly.
That down.
That's with every holiday.
Yeah, that's true.
One of these Halloweens, I'll get to take it off, but until then, until
when
I have
it rains, it pours.
Exactly, and that's October. So at least I can make money and thrift all some new vintage furs that I can wear around for winter and have that excitement, because that's always fun to pull all the furs out of the closet. So that's why I don't think I could ever live anywhere that didn't have four seasons. Like, I have this desire to travel, but I'm like,
bless you, Eric. Tight.
I have this desire to travel, but I can't really act. I was like, I'll go visit places, but I don't think I'll ever live anywhere else because I need to be able to wear furs. Gosh.
Right.
If I couldn't wear a fur, I don't think I could live there.
You'd be damaged.
I really would be. And my closet would be very sad. Because I feel like about a like good third of my closet is just fur.
I can't wait to see your closet, Mae.
Oh, it's a thing. It's a vision. So you'll have to come by soon and check it out.
No, I will.
Thank you so much for having me again.
Seriously. Fucking seriously.
It's going to be... Can't wait to hear this episode in full.
Let's chink glasses. Ooh. I love you.
Love you. Cheers.
You were listening to Fallen Woman on Radio Free Brooklyn. I am here with Jack Curious of the Glorious Revolution.
Hello.
I'm so happy to have you back.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's number two.
I know. We're moving fast.
Yeah, I know, and I hope we get I hope we get to third base too. Forgive me for gushing.
Let's hit a home run.
Forgive me for gushing. You were an inspiration of me of sorts back in the day in the squeeze box days. Me and my band Vulgaris and all my shenanigans. You know, I was coming from a place of female empowerment, and I was trying to find my voice in that arena. And you were a member of a band called Candy Ass. And that's how I met you.
Yep.
Tell me, what became of Candy Ass and your involvement in them? I hope that's not too bold.
Well, no, I mean, it's just been a long time since I've really thought about them.
Yeah, you've had a lot of projects on your plate.
Yeah, I've done a lot. That's a long time ago. I was the bass player in that band for, I don't know, a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
And
a damn good one.
Thank you. And I moved here actually with them from Los Angeles in 2000. I'd lived here once before with my ex-wife, but then I moved back here with Candy Ass. I sold my Cadillac, which was a beautiful Cadillac, 1975 Coupe de Ville, black on black.
Oh, God.
And the steering wheel, like, was screaming for vengeance. It had, like, it was leather-wrapped with silver studs on it.
Oh, my God.
It was rad. I sold that fucking car and moved to New York with that band, yeah.
Oh. So they brought you to New York.
Pretty much. I mean,
not literally, myself, but they're the reason. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yep. And I never moved back to Los Angeles since I've been here, so I've been here now about 16 years.
Wow.
Yeah. But,
you know, when I met you, you struck me as a dyed-in-the-wool New Yorker. I would never have known
that you were from California like me.
Yeah, well, I didn't fit into California.
Me neither.
Everyone was always, I don't know, what did they say? Everyone always said the same crap to me, like, oh, you're like, I can't remember. I just didn't fit in. I don't think I was, I think I was a little too deep. You're so deep.
Yeah. You know, I was, or did you always, deep. Did you ever get the, are you from New York?
I did get that.
When they would, like, feel uncomfortable in a conversation, they immediately thought, oh, they must be.
Yeah, but now being you. From New York, they love it, and all of my Californian friends, I mean, they're awesome, and I miss them, and sometimes I miss the weather, but I love New York. I absolutely love it, and pretty much since 9/11, I mean, granted, that was a long time ago, too.
What year was 9/11? 2001?
Yeah, so 15 years ago.
So you were in Candy Ass during 9/11.
Yes, I was.
Wow.
And it was a really heavy time for us because...
Was this around the time that you guys got involved with Pink?
That happened after.
Okay.
And, yeah, that happened after. That was a tour that happened in Los Angeles, and this girl...
Was that 2002 or 3?
2002.
Okay.
March, I believe it was, because mm-hmm. It was around the Oscars.
Okay.
If I remember right. Yeah, something like that. Something and you, big.
You brought Pink to the show?
Well, this girl that I had dated before, like, it was funny.
The At band that was, juncture.
The band was giving me shit. They were like, oh, is your 14-year-old girlfriend coming tonight? Because she was a lot younger than me.
Oh, come on.
She wasn't 14, but they were teasing me. And
nothing
I was like,
wrong with a silver fox.
Yeah, and I was like, well, actually, yeah. As a matter of fact, she is coming tonight. She's bringing Pink, and Pink's coming with Rolling Stone magazine and her label, Arista Records. So make sure you guys are on tonight. And they just like... It was just one of those moments backstage. And we were on that night. And I believe, I'm sure, I was the only person in the band that night that actually
and Pink
met
came.
Pink. Yeah, she came with Rolling Stone Magazine, Arista Records, and Pink literally stood in front of me the whole night. It's a great show. A friend of mine called me the next day and said, I don't know what you were doing. You must have been praying all night, but Pink really loved you guys. She wants... you to go on the road with her and do her national tour before she does a world tour with Lenny Kravitz.
Oh.
And, but she wants you guys to be in this video with her that was starting to shoot, I think it was the next day. And that was the day we were scheduled to go back to New York. So as you can imagine, I was so fucking excited.
Jacked.
And this
pardon the pun.
This friend of mine, this is the woman that called me wasn't the girl I used to date. She's another woman that I knew.
Uh-huh.
And she gave me all the contact phone numbers, so I called up the singer.
The lead singer of Candy Ass?
Yeah. I called her up.
Galadriel?
Galadriel?
Galadriel. Galadriel, yes.
Yeah, I called her up. I called the band up and told them what happened. We were so excited. We're like totally freaking out, like total dreams coming true. Like, oh my God, this is insane. Because it was right when Pink was taking off.
And you gave them the... 411.
Yeah, gave all the phone numbers and
all the contact info.
And because I was from LA, I was like out visiting all of my friends. I had my girlfriend at the time with me.
You had plans.
Yeah, I had Heather with me, and we were, I can't remember where we were. Mm-hmm. We ended up being in Malibu at some point, but I just remember being really nervous and like, what's going on? Because they were all together and I wasn't with them, so I kept calling.
And you kind of, they were starting to cut you out of the loop.
Well, I started getting paranoid about that, but I wasn't totally there yet with that.
Was it paranoia?
I don't think so. I don't think it was paranoia, but I started to get nervous. I don't know what was happening. So I called and I talked to Galadriel, and I was like, what's going on? Like, did you talk to the people, and are we going to extend our tickets? You know, I think we ought to really do this video. And she let me know that she had already turned down the video. And I was like, what? That's crazy. Like, what do you mean? Like, if anything, the video is going to outlive any tour we do. Like, what the hell, you know? And I asked where the other two girls were, and she said they were making photocopies of our press kits because suddenly all these people were interested in working with us, and we needed somebody to work with us. And I was really heightened at that point, and I was like, I just can't believe why are you canceling the video? Isn't there any way we can call them back? Like, I think we should do it. Is there any way we can have a band meeting and talk about this? And
something about backup singers, what?
No, oh yeah.
She didn't want to be Pink's backup singer.
She said she didn't want Candy Ass to be Pink's backup band or to be seen as Pink's backup band. I was like, I'm sure that's not what it's going to be like. And
at the end of the day, when you got home to New York, you met another bass player.
Here's what happened.
Yeah.
So I got upset, and I was like, we need to have a band meeting and talk about this. And Galadriel told me, look, I don't have time to argue with you right now. I'm about to make the biggest decision of my career, and I can't argue with you. And I got upset, and I said, your career? I go, what about our career? What about us? And then I said, fuck you, Galadriel. Fuck you. And I hung up. And the next day at the airport...
That happens a lot in bands.
Yeah, so... You should be able to say fuck you if you're upset.
I have many... Yeah.
So the next day at the airport, I'm there in all my leather and boots and my bass and my case. It was the day after the Oscars, 2002. And I see the three of them. They're all in shorts, Converse, whatever. They're not going to light up in the metal detector. And I walked up to them. I'm like, seriously, you're not even going to talk to me? And they just literally had their noses up in the air like cheerleaders. And Hopi, the guitarist, who I thought was my friend, turned around and she came over to my face and she goes, your career? Really, Karen? I was like, what? I was like, wait a minute. I'm like, I didn't say my career. I said our career. She's the one that said her career. And that's why I was upset. And Hopi just said, whatever. She's like, it's not like we're Ludacris or something. It's not like, you know, Pink was going to put our name on the video. I'm like, we could have gotten a lawyer and asked for that, but whatever. And then they asked the flight attendants not to sit next to me. And a few days later, I was on St. Mark's Street in New York City, and a friend of mine, Michael Wildwood, walked up to me on the street, and he said, hey, what kind of clothes do you wear in that fucking band you're in? I'm like, what are you talking about? I wear what I'm wearing right now. He's like, well, they asked me to cover you Friday night opening for the Briefs at Don Hills. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, yeah, they said they're going to pay me $150 to play your parts. So I'm like, what? And then he was like, what? You don't know? And I was like, no, I don't know. And that's basically how I found out.
That was that.
And then I guess...
And what did Candy Ass do after that? Where did they go with their careers? Just curious.
I don't know. I don't know. I know they got a 21-year-old kid to fill my shoes or try to
fill
my shoes.
I know I did see them backing up Pink on Letterman.
I did,
and
too.
And I thought, hey, wait a minute. I know those girls. What are they doing
too,
there?
A couple years later, I think it was. I was watching that show, and I was
I love Pink, and I think she's a ridiculously talented and beautiful person. So this is nothing against Pink, but it did seem like, after you telling me this, I did see them backing her up.
It wasn't a very it wasn't a very good experience, and
I'm laughing because it's that bad. You just sometimes get laughed.
It just sucked because, to top it off, like, I guess they came home and I thought I was just paranoid again.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people wouldn't talk to me anymore. And
well, you got some character assassination.
Then years later, of course, I found out that friends of mine and people that I knew and that knew me had received phone calls not to speak to me, to pretty much wipe me out of my own history in the rock and roll scene, which I thought was really low. But whenever I started,
seriously rock with the New Professionals.
Yeah, I started my own band, New Professionals, and I made sure
strong
that
and
they
you're
didn't
talented
have any rights
and you just
to,
went and when you went for it,
I did.
You're not going to stop. Of course not.
I did. I did go for it, and I was doing pretty good. I was pretty happy getting back on my own feet again and fronting my own band, singing my own songs. And one of the songs, Nothing Pretty, I had to make sure, because I found out that they had released an album with me playing on it, and, you know, songs I'd help write and arrange, and then songs that I wrote, which one was Nothing Pretty, but Galadriel had added some lyrics to the Candy Ass version, so I had to make sure that in the event anything came of that song upon
right.
my releasing it, that she wouldn't see a dime from it.
Right. Well, so you want,
so
you
I,
want it to be yours, you know.
It is mine.
That is,
it
at
was.
The end of the day, why we do all this.
Right.
You know, it's got to be yours.
Right. So,
it's got to be your soul.
But I released a single with that, and that was great. I made a video with Katrina Del Mar and Lola Rock'n'Rolla.
Yeah.
It was one of the camera people on that also. And
awesome. I love Lola.
It's a good video. It's still on YouTube, and what's cool about it is it's sort of like a historical video of New York City and of Williamsburg, because there wasn't one single high rise on the East River.
Thank
and
God.
We were on the rooftop of where Otter used to live at
the
warehouse.
Oh, yeah, on Barry.
And Nicolette.
I know what you're talking
we
about.
We were on that rooftop with the koi pond.
Oh,
that's where that's filmed.
Gorgeous.
Right there, Barry and South Fifth.
Yes.
So you can, and Katrina had a crane, and you could see all the way up and down the East River. It's super cool. And then I put a band together. We went to L.A. and recorded. And up until that point in my life, you know, the worst thing that had ever happened to me was that situation with that band.
Yeah. Heartbreaking.
And I didn't think anything worse could happen.
Okay. Yeah,
and then something really horrible happened.
Yeah.
One of my brothers was brutally murdered while I was recording Come Hell or High Drama.
I'm really sorry.
Yeah, Derek. And that's been 13 years now. And the
wow.
killer is still... it's still an unsolved murder.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's never...
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And it was difficult. So.
oh, my God.
So when that happened,
whoa.
Any animosity or weirdness that I felt, like, even about past relationships or any kind of gut-wrenching crap I'd ever felt before, was, like, nothing to me. Like,
null and void.
It was nothing. Like, this, I wouldn't even wish this on my worst enemy, is to have murder strike their life. And,
no.
You know, the girls actually sent me a card, which I appreciated.
Like, handwritten?
Just a sympathy card and their signatures,
written.
Which was...
Okay.
The thought was...
Well, in the days, of, in our current times of internet, it is often... extra different when you get something handwritten or signed.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
Well, this was sort of before we were all selfie maniacs.
This was pre-Facebook.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, this was 2003. So the next year this happened.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? Like,
oh
literally.
Oh, my God. Jesus,
like a year
Jack.
And a half later, this happened. And that kind of knocked me on my ass for about 10 years. But I still kept going. I still kept going. And that's about all I could do.
Yeah, but you've got the Glorious Revolution now.
Then I started the Glorious Revolution.
With your transformation.
And this last year I discovered I'm transgender, and it's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me.
I gotta be honest, it's the happiest I've ever seen you.
It's the happiest I've ever been. Ever. I just can't
yeah.
even believe it. Because it's like, I don't know. I don't think I realized how tortured I was my whole life. I was literally just this tortured soul in this fucked up body that I just didn't belong in. You know, like it was
yeah.
just the craziest thing ever. I don't even know how to explain it. If you're transgender, I guess you'll know what I'm talking about. And I don't know. I think I was so focused on my music and on writing and
well,
you know, trying
artist,
to find
we,
a killer,
we,
and I wasn't thinking about
we take our torture as
stuff.
An artist, and we throw it into our art.
Yeah,
we just throw ourselves into it to get past it.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I do. I feel great now, and the band that I have now.
And you look amazing. Can I just say, thanks. Like, it's the sexiest I've ever seen. You're a sexy guy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's I mean, I work out. Like, I never would work out, like, ever, because I had body dysphoria. I didn't know I had body dysphoria, but I should have known because I was a stone butch. Mm. I didn't realize what that really was for me.
Right.
For me, it was like, hello. And, yeah. But it's great. And what's amazing, like, I can still sing. My approach is different. I'm still sort of stumbling around.
You're finding a new voice.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. My songs sort of have a new meaning. Yeah. And I always used to think, like,
do your old songs have a new meaning too now? When you look at the lyrics, do you find Jack in the old lyrics?
When they're being sang from a male point of view, they're really weird.
Wow.
It's really twisted. It's, like, totally twisted. Instead of, like,
wow.
Most of my songs, I always just thought they were, like, lesbians. Love songs, you know, they're like, yeah. Oh, it's just like lesbian love songs,
right?
And because I was a female artist, I was mm-hmm. recorded as such. When right. you're a female, it doesn't matter what producer you go to. I mean, unless I guess you go to Mark Ronson or something, mm-hmm. but if you're a dyke, like mm-hmm. I was, quote unquote, they want a Melissa Etheridge, you do you know? And I was really pissed off about it. No, they really do. I want to put you in that, what's that festival? The Lilith Fair?
Lilith Fair, yeah.
Which is fine, you know, that's fucking great, but
Michelle
that wasn't...
Michelle Shocked, Ani DiFranco.
That wasn't who I was, and I remember saying to my producer, like, why do I sound like this? Because we had a band together called Curious Yellow, and we were really heavy, and granted, yeah, he was the songwriter, but if you strip his songs down to acoustic, they weren't that far off from whatever my songs were.
Right.
So why if we could take in a Curious Yellow song equivalent to a Karen Curious song at the time, take them both into the studio, yours comes out sounding like fucking White Zombie just conquered the world, and right. mine comes out sounding like Melissa Etheridge did some cocaine.
Oh, sorry. No, it's okay, I did that too.
But you know what I mean? Like, no offense to Melissa Etheridge.
Melissa Etheridge on cocaine.
Well, no offense, but... Wow. Yeah. It's just like being pigeonholed because of how the world sees you,
right.
how the public sees you. Once you're stigmatized, you're sort of expected to sound a certain way and to be this in this area.
Right.
And actually, I'm kind of enjoying the fact that my voice is a lot deeper and...
It's a wonderful way to reinvent.
It's
my
pretty
goodness,
rad.
What a crazy
it's
turn
awesome,
of events.
Actually.
You've been a man all along.
And I never could deal with how high my voice was when I would listen back to it. I mean, of course, like, I could hear the good aspects of it. But, and I liked certain raspiness of it, but my voice has always been raspy. And I'm glad to still have that. I'm glad I don't sound like a robot now from the testosterone. I just feel like I'm more of myself, but I have had my band tuned completely down.
Where can I hear you right now? If I were to go online right now, where could I hear
There's
Jack?
Just like little videos right now. There's really nothing because I'm only 5 months
Wait,
in on
okay, little
testosterone.
Videos. Are you talking about little videos singing?
There's like a little video of a song that me and that my band does called Pink Box. Funny, Pink Box.
Okay, this is great.
And
this
it's,
is, please tell me more.
Instagram is the Instagram for the Glorious Revolution is at the Glorious Revolution Band.
Mm-hmm.
And So there's like a little video there. I think it's the first or second, or second picture up there. There's not too many pictures up there, but there's a video up there that a friend of ours shot. But even now, like my voice has dropped even more than that. So
I look forward to hearing you sing the blues.
It's good. It's the
like,
pink box. It's
do
like
some...
I don't fit in the pink box.
Right.
It's, like, really cool stuff. Like, some of the new stuff that, like, me as Jack Curious is coming up with is totally different than what, it's a different point of view. Like, all of it, it's just different. And the way that I, like, this week will be my second show.
Life must look completely different now.
It does look different. And it's,
yeah, and it's reflecting in your work.
It does look different. It's a little bit scary, too. It's almost like being gay in the 80s all over again, because sometimes people look at you like they want to kill you.
Oh,
especially
Jesus.
Men look at me that way when they realize, like, wait a minute, you know, what are you?
Is girl he or guy? She? Isn't she here?
Right. Yeah. And then when I correct them, sometimes I'm too afraid to correct them because I am a little. I mean, granted, I am working out, but I don't need.
You're very spry, though.
I know. I don't need a cis male to, quote unquote, teach me a lesson or ugh, show me what a man is.
You're not looking for trouble.
No. I'm not trying to be a natural born man
either.
You're not
creating it. You're not looking for it.
No.
You just want to be you.
Exactly. And I'm proud to be a trans man.
And cheers to that.
I'm so happy.
Jack.
And God bless all my trans brothers and sisters out there. Stay strong and be brave. And to the glorious revolution, may it find you as well.
Thank you so much for coming back.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's
digging deep with me.
Oh, yeah, that was
I'm honored.
That was something I haven't talked about in ages, but it's cool. It's good to be here.
Love you.
Love you too.
Thank you for listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. If you enjoy what you hear and you'd like to continue to support independent community media, we hope you'll consider supporting us with a small monthly pledge. You may pledge as little as $1 a month. That's just $12 per year, the price of a cocktail. Wouldn't you buy us just one drink per year to keep local independent media alive and kicking? Please, go to radiofreebrooklyn.com/pledge and help keep commercial-free independent radio alive.
Down Sunset Boulevard, and I would like to wake up to the smell of star jasmine.
ran dry one winter because all the children soaked it up. And the house had splinters because there wasn't enough to go around. So the sleep was rough with one eye wide open on the broken door. Gotta watch out for those footmen. Gotta watch out for them whores. They'll take you on vacation as fast as look at you. You'll forget who you are before Barbie does, and your mommy won't be there when the gun is aimed in your direction. Run like a son of a bitch in the sunshine like it's midnight. Don't ever remember that horrible dress stained and ripped when you skipped one town for another like an angry gypsy. Spitting up your tobacco today, just another lost soul you ate along the way to your bedroom tonight. The mirror wants to know why, and you still don't have an answer for it.